Great. Perfect songs. And you took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking about Jimmy Longshaw. He's probably up there singing along with you in heaven. Yes. All right. Let's see if we're going to work this morning. There we are. As I thought about the message for today, what to speak on, this being the American Baptist Ladies Day and their support of missions and the work in the church, I thought of the two great commandments that Jesus himself left us, and we are to be busy and diligent in doing the missions of the kingdom. And as I got to thinking about in your bulletin, it shows that I was going to do the great commandment and the great commission. But after I got studying and looking at scriptures and all of that, I can't do that all in one sermon. So today I'm just going to talk on the great commandment, which will go along with the whole theme and the focus of this day. The music and everything has been right on with this day as we come together. And I like the eagle up there, and I happen to be wearing my eagle today, my tie. So it's perfect day for the message here on the Great Commandment. So as we look at the Great Commandment, and we are all called to be a part of that we are to love our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And the Pharisee said, what is the great commandment and what is the great commission? And Jesus said the second part of that, the most important is to love thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second part of that is to love your neighbor as yourself or your enemy, whoever that might be. So when you think about the focus of the church and the growth of the church, it is one of the most studied subject in the last few decades, because we want to know more how churches can function and how they can step forth and fulfill that commandment, the great commandment of loving our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and loving one another. And then the Great Commission will prove our works and our faith as we follow through. And that's why I wanted to tie the two together this morning. See, Jesus left us two mountain peaks. Jesus spent a lot of his time upon Mount of Olives praying and going to the Heavenly Father, because he wanted to know the Father's will. Even though he was perfect in all ways, he was humble enough that he went to his Father, the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, to get directions, because he said, I don't do anything, I don't say anything except what the Father tells me to say. So that's humility, and that's fulfilling. And he came to this earth to fulfill that promise and the mission that the Heavenly Father sent him here to do. So as we look at these two mountain peaks, it guides us both individually in the life of the church, and it will until he comes again. And the reason he hadn't come already, he wants to give us more opportunity to do the great commandment and the great commission. And when the last person on this earth is saved, I believe in my heart, according to what the scripture says, that he will return. And it's kind of like the day of Noah. He gave Noah 120 years to preach. And even though Noah was faithful in his preaching and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and what was coming, and they didn't get on the ark, what would happen? But they didn't believe. Their heart wasn't where it should be. It was hard. And therefore, after the 120 days, the floods came. So now He's giving everybody in this generation, in the New Testament age, an opportunity to come and hear the gospel. Faith comes to hear and hear by the word of God. So when we look at what the scripture says, grace gives us all the opportunities in this world to come to the Lord, to saving knowledge of Christ. So let's look how Christ would have us live our life according to his revealed purpose. So first of all, the great commandment. And that's Matthew chapter 22, 36 through 40. So a while ago I mentioned about the mountain peak. I call it the mountain peak. I call it truth. Or it's the revelation that Jesus gave. And these are his words here in the scriptures. Matthew 22, 36, 40. Matthew listened to Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit worked through Matthew to write exactly, record impromptu what Jesus said. And I don't think he left anything out. Well, I know he didn't leave anything out, because it's very clear of what our responsibility is as Christians. So this first mountain peak truth Jesus points out is the great commandment. So all of God's commandments are important. All of them are important. Whether the parables and everything that Jesus said himself are very important. But some particular, these two are more important than others. Jesus said that these two commandments are the basis for the whole law and the prophets of the old covenant. So Jesus goes back to Leviticus, and he draws from the commandment that God gave from the very beginning, starting at Genesis, that we are to love God with all of our hearts, and we are to have no other gods other than the true and living God. And that's mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, which is one of the Ten Commandments. So it's very important. And this is the Old Testament covenant, and we have the New Testament covenant as well. That's why we have the Old and the New Testaments that we can draw from in our lives. So where the overarching principle of love towards God and love towards man is enacted, relationship and life are what God intends for us to hear, know, and make it an application in our lives. So in verse 36, as we look at that, a scribe asked Jesus an important question. They was always coming and testing Jesus. They was trying to trick him often and get him to say something that where they could come back and say, you're blaspheming and all of this. But this scribe comes to, which is a Pharisee, because they had seen Jesus talking to a Sadducee, and so they thought they would get on the bandwagon too and test Jesus. And the scribe or the Pharisee said, "Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law?" Like they didn't know. They knew. They was asking Jesus. They was testing him and see what he would say. And the scribe had identified 613 separate commandments and 365 negative and 248 positive. You see how they worked and how they tried to trick Jesus? He knew. I mean, they needed to realize who they were talking to, who Christ really is. And so in verse 37, as we look at that verse 37, Jesus reveals the most important commandment to love God with our whole being. Our whole being, just not part of it, just not some of it, but our whole being. And that's when he said, and he said to them, Jesus said to him, the Pharisee of the scribe, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, which makes up the whole being of our lives. So, in reading that, did you hear what Jesus said? Those precious words are so wonderful. The Lord God Almighty wants to be loved by us. Now, we say we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but do it always show up in our actions, in our commitment, in our faithfulness? And we do need to realize that when Jesus said that, it's very important for us to understand that it is a great commandment for us to practice and do in the Great Commission. So this command is in complete harmony with the fact that He Himself is a loving God. Why is He a loving God? Because our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, sent Jesus Christ into this world, which John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world." So He loved us first. And when He created us, He breathed into our lives the breath of life. And within that, we took up the nature of God, His characteristics, that we are to love as well as God loved us. So it is our loving that we become most like God. It is in our loving that we become more like God. And remember, this is an Old Testament truth. It started in the Old Testament and it continued all the way to the New Testament. So God has desired a loving relationship. What I would call, as Paul would say in his epistles, it's a crown of jewels that we'll all behold one of these days of His creation. Since He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed in life into him and then us as well. See, the breath that we breathe, God provides that in our life. And the breath of the spiritual life is the Holy Spirit who resides and lives in our heart. That helps us to make those kind of decisions that will impact this world and give honor and glory to the Lord. So, as I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and as I was trying to interpret what Matthew is wanting us to understand, I saw three areas which we are to love God. Three areas, and you might want to write these down because you can always go back and refresh yourself. Like some of the scriptures I shared here recently, James said, I told you this as a reminder that you might understand that this is important. So the first is with your heart. With all your heart, you are to love God. And literally, that's out of your whole heart, the whole heart. That's the literal translation of this particular verse in the Greek, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. That's not too hard to do, is it? Because He loves us with all of His heart. And the heart, cardia is the Greek word for heart, and it is the center and core of mankind. It's the center and core of your life, my life, the heart, where we make important decisions, how God, the Holy Spirit, works through our hearts, illuminates us to be able to understand His revelation, His word, and direction in life. So, the triune God is to be our delight, and we should love Him unreservedly with our whole heart. Our hearts must be one with His will and not allow anything to interrupt, because That is God's rightful place in our hearts as Christians. So, that's the first. Love God with all your heart, your whole heart. The second one is the power by which we are loved is with our soul. Aren't you glad you have a soul? This old body, this old shell, this old flesh, it's not going to live forever. Scripture says it's going to go back to dust. It's going to go back to the earth where it came. But by God giving us a soul, a spirit, just like His, we will live on forever. So why not love God with all of our soul? Because He put His soul into our life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So verse 37 is love the Lord your God with all your soul. Now, the third is the power with which we are loved is to with our mind. You know, fill it up with God's love and fill it up with God's the knowledge and the wisdom He gives us from His Word, that we might have the mind of Christ. See, Paul says that we can have the mind of Christ. And the way that we have the mind of Christ is through His Word, by praying and seeking God and say, Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your goodness and Your abundance love, that I might too portray Jesus Christ in the way I live my life. Allowing Jesus Christ to live His life through us. And therefore, when we do that, we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that's how that works. So when God loves, He loves you just as you are, unconditionally. And we are to love unconditionally as well. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You know, when we don't feel like we're loved back or something like that. But regardless, we are to do our part just like Christ did His part when He died on cross for us. John chapter 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he one lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus called His disciples my friends. And you know what? We fall in that same category because He died for the world. And He considers us His friends. So we should be grateful that God extended His grace throughout the world. It started over in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then Jesus said, I want you disciples to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. Now at that time, the world was over there. But around the globe, that meant us as well. And the word was preserved and it was brought to the whole world because God made sure that His word was safe and secure and presented to the whole world. Now, not only does the law teach responsibility to God, it also commands responsibility to man, as Jesus states in verse 39. Let me read verse 38 first. This is your great and foremost commandment. So if you and I only have time for one thought, we don't have time for one thought before we begin each day, let it be this great and primary commandment. If we get up and say, what thought do I have today? May it be the great commandment. You know, every day when we get up, you know, when I get up in the mornings and I start getting ready and on my way to the office, wherever I'm going, wherever the task is, I say, Lord, what is Your will for my life today? If I meet someone who needs to hear the gospel, I'll you know, I'll share it. Whatever the need is, or whatever situation or circumstance or the task, Lord, equip me for this day to fulfill your will. That is my prayer each day. And God always comes through, and he shows me what I am to be doing. Now, sometimes, you know, we try to be successful, but God always wants us to be just be faithful. So being successful too is important, but if we're faithful, God is going to bless your life and give you more opportunities as well. So in verse 39, not only does the law teach responsibility to God, it also commands responsibility to man, as Jesus states here in verse 39. The second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, your neighbor might not even speak to you, but you're still to love them, right? You're still to reach out to them and show them God's love. And that shows that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So, and you love them as well. So it is our responsibility to keep this commandment uplifted to the highest, because it is one of the most important great commandments that Jesus gave, along with the Great Commission. Now, if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan that follows this commandment, it's in Mark chapter 10, starting around verse 29 and follows, that this person was on the road, and he was bypassed by the priest and the Jews and so forth. And this Samaritan was on the side of the road, and he was injured. And this good Samaritan came along, and he helped this individual. He took him to his home and fed him and mended him back to well. And Jesus gave him the credit for the great commandment, saying, you know, this is the evidence of your love and your willingness to give yourself in with your heart, soul, and mind. Now, Jesus brings his answer to the climax by declaring verse 40, our last verse, is, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. The whole law and the prophets. Okay, taking us back to the Old Testament fulfillment all the way through the New Testament. So this is the two commandments, and it depends on the whole law and the prophets. So these commandments are the basis of the whole law. It's your grace as well. So if you get these two down, you get the basis of the whole Old Testament of the Scriptures. Now, these two commandments fit into each other. They go hand in hand. They both are important. And next week I will share the importance of the Great Commission as well. And they are interrelation, so that John, in his epistle, asks, how can you say you love God, whom you have never seen, when you don't love your brother, whom you have seen? True statement, right? We never seen Christ in person. We know about him. We read about him. We study about him. And we say we love him. And John has a point there. How can you say you love Jesus, never seen him, and you see your brother? Who have you seen? Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So it should make us think, okay, am I really fulfilling the great commandment? Lord, if I'm not, help me to do so. I depend upon you. I depend upon him with all my heart and soul and mind each day of my life. So in conclusion here this morning, in its noblest expression, human love is patterned after God's love. Okay? Human love. It's patterned after God's love. See, we can't love without God's love. Because of God's love, we can love one another. I mean, it's like smiling, okay? It's not hard to smile, but it's hard to frown, right? It only takes 10 muscles to smile and 54 to frown. So why do you want to go around frowning all the time, right? Go around and smile. It's a lot easier. And people wonder what you're up to, right? So you can tell them, I'm up to Jesus Christ. I want to share him with you. So that's what we can do. So in our closing, may we allow the all-surpassing characteristics or character of God's love become our love and our way of loving. Pretty simple, right? All we got to do is what? Put it into practice. Apply it. Make an application to it in our lives. And guess who will get the blessing? You will. Who will get the glory? God will. He will get the glory. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this message today. It speaks to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, it's exactly what you want us to hear. Not only that, it's exactly what you want us to practice and do. Because James in chapter 1 tells us that we hear the word, we receive the word, and in verse 19 it says we are to do the word. And if we do the word, Lord, we're fulfilling your commandment, which is one of the greatest commandments that we could fulfill in our day, in our time here on this earth, till you call us home. Whatever the decisions are today here in this congregation, and maybe those who are listening live, Lord, your word touches us in so many different ways, and it speaks us to every one of us in different ways. We might hear or acknowledge something in our areas in different ways of how you speak this very moment for us to respond to your invitation. Lord, let your will be done. Let us be in the center of your will, not only today, but each and every day. As we get up and we say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What is the commandment to love with all our heart, soul, and mind? Help me to apply that today so others may know that I'm a Christian. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Where He Leads, I'll Go. So a good invitation for us to sing as our closer. So let's stand as we sing. I'll be here at the front to receive anyone and everyone that God is speaking to this morning to come forward and make a decision for him. Let us sing. First